Blog Talk Radio.
Or home feel advantage.
Advantage Sports Talk, where our motto is our home, our field, your advantage. You better take advantage. And yes, we're African American. Anyway, it's your brother you by City Boy South. That's CITYCOYSOUTH. And of course, we got to talk about Chip Kelly. Oh, something going on. A lot going on. But we're going to talk about Chip Kelly. We're going to get into all the brawls that usually happen during training camp in the NFL. Before we get started, the number is 347-215-9490. That's 347-215-9490. And we have some special guests in the house.
Yes, sir.
DNA Sports. How's it going, gentlemen?
Good. How you doing?
What's going on?
And they're African-American, too.
Last time I checked. You were looking at the paycheck.
That's when you know the show.
Okay, fellas, there's a lot of craziness going on with your boy Chip Kelly. A lot of people feel like they got to talk and say something. They always go the race route. Race cars are getting passed out. Bob Ryan, what's y'all thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, where there's smoke, there's fire.
There it is.
You can't keep having a coach come under attack by saying he's a certain way against certain cultures or against certain people and then say, but he's not a racist. And all of them make the same statement once they leave. In other words, you can't make that statement while you're there. You have to make it once you leave that environment. I'm not saying that he's a racist, but you can't keep coming under the same suspicion time after time after time without there being some truth to it. So that's my take on it.
That's how I was kind of looking at it. Like, it's getting to the point where everybody's got something they have to say, but is he a racist or is he just your regular college coach that comes from college that runs stuff a certain way where he talks to people a certain way as far as his student athletes? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Okay, remind me of somebody who was in Tampa Bay, but I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah, but Shiano was never deemed a racist.
He wasn't deemed a racist.
He was deemed a taskmaster.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
and that's how Chip Kelly is to me. He's a taskmaster because most college coaches are like that because they run the entire program, basically.
Yeah, I think he's a different kind of taskmaster. You look at what's his name? Was that Rutgers?
Shiano.
Look where he's coached at. Upper Northeast, you have a whole different kind of culture.
Okay.
As far as interaction with people that you have. Now, you take Chip Kelly, he in the Northwest.
Okay.
Hawaiian white folks.
That's true.
1% black people. If you just want to start breaking down race.
Right.
And over the last few years, the only reason why Oregon been getting the plays they've been getting is because USC hasn't had no scholarships. So, them boys have been going in.
They got them back now.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So, know, he started looking at the speedsters, the wide receivers that they had, but he was only getting those players, but not anybody. So even when he was in Division Two, he was coaching North Dakota.
What?
I mean, you know, I'm being serious.
I'm trying to think. I don't.
He was somewhere where, you know, there is no Division II. There's no, you know what I mean?
Right.
He was in a program where there wasn't much as far as African American players go there as well. Or you have, you know what I mean, a certain, you know, part of the country. So he's used to having a certain kind of player. So along with being a taskmaster, you know, and making sure what I say is basically law, he ain't used to dealing with Compton, Miami, New York, Alabama type individuals. You know what I mean?
That's
true. I dare anybody to come in and tell me them boys from Hawaii or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
More outspoken than any one of us four here can ever be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's more of a culture on top of him being taskmaster, and it gets looked at as it's racist because that's the word you want people want to use in order to get headlines and whatnot. You know what I mean? So I don't.
But
you know,
if you look at Nick Saban, he's a taskmaster.
Ooh.
He's never been considered racist.
How long
the
he lasted in the NFL?
Has never been there.
How long he lasted in the NFL?
But even at in the college level, he was at Michigan State for several years.
How long he
and
lasted
what
in the
did
NFL?
Plexico talk about him? Plexico said, you know, he didn't help him as far as getting to the NFL, but he never said he was a racist. And you look at him and Belichick, they're both the same type of dot your I's, cross your T's at every single practice, no matter what it is, to the water boy, making sure his jersey is correct. But none of them have ever been accused of being a racist.
Michigan State is Detroit.
But, okay,
no, no, it's not. No, it's not.
Michigan.
You can count the number of black people on the Michigan State team. In the last 10 years.
Michigan State, they put out homeboys, as we want to say.
One,
you know what I mean?
One a year.
I'll wait. No, they might put them in the NFL. I'm talking about the squad.
I would say Michigan State probably put out more brothers now than Michigan do.
Now.
Okay, yeah. Now.
Saban's been gone for how long? 8 years?
No longer than that.
But how long he lasted in the NFL, though?
A year and a half.
No, but that's the control part.
No, that's the control part.
You can't control people that are making more money than you, three times as much more money than you. However, it was never said or insinuated that he was a racist.
When I'm going to somebody's house, talk to somebody's kid in Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, one out of three households I'm going into is probably going to be African American.
True.
When I go to somebody's house in Washington, Oregon, Idaho,
that's what happened with Ricky.
One out of three households that I go to is going to be Caucasian, and then I get an influxation of people from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay, but what about? Okay, I think it's hard to call him a racist. That's just my personal opinion.
I'm
not saying you are.
I think
he's
just an introvert when it comes to dealing with black people.
I want to look at.
So he's a borderline racist.
No.
What about the validity of the accusers? Because I like LeSean McCoy. I'm not
feeling hurt.
He's a woman. He's a woman scorned, in my personal opinion. Boykin scorned. Trey Thomas scorned.
All veterans.
Yeah.
Who you cut? Without letting be known.
You know, like
all leaders of Philadelphia.
Who did he keep though? What's the one wide receiver that he kept?
What, Cooper?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I'm just asking.
But you know what they threw out there? It's interesting because they threw out one. I do agree with you a little bit as far
not
as
Cooper?
No. I'm saying as far as when the smoke is fired. Because when it gets to the point where a lot of people are coming forward saying something, like it's kind of remind me of somebody that was putting pills in people's pudding pops when the people were coming forward. But anyway, what I'm saying is,
leave my 80s alone.
You got to understand that I was lonely. No.
But Cooper, this is what they said about Cooper. Let me say this real quick.
Okay.
They were saying, this is the argument about Cooper, why he stayed on the team. They were saying because two of their starting wide receivers was out. So they think if they two of their star receivers stayed, you know, they was healthy, that he probably wouldn't have made the team. That's what they're saying. That's the excuse that's coming out.
This is my issue with a lot of the mainstream media when it comes down to the Riley Cooper situation. Nobody looks at the financial aspect of it. You look at Riley Cooper's numbers
and we've done the show about this before. You can take Riley Cooper's numbers over a three-year span, I think we did, and compare it to DeSean Jackson. It's almost similar. And you in the financial savings that you get by letting DeSean Jackson go because he's a bigger name, you get to save and put your money in other places. And not only that, Chip Kelly, I feel like I'm taking up for Chip Kelly. I do think he has some blame there. Chip Kelly likes big, tall, fast wide receivers. I'm taller than DeSean Jackson, and that's not tall. And Macklin, I think Macklin and I are probably like the same height.
6 feet.
He likes 6'3 and above wide receivers that got some size and speed to him. That's what he likes. I mean, he got rid of Nick Foles on here. Anybody saying anything about that?
Well, my only question now, when it comes to Cooper, was it his first year?
Cooper? No,
not Cooper. Was the incident that went on with Cooper? I can't remember the timeline. Was the incident that went on with Cooper, was it while Kelly was there or after Kelly got there?
While Kelly was there.
That was his first year. His first year.
He was there.
That was his first year, 2013.
So, I want to go more with you on it being a financial reason on why they kept Cooper. Because he didn't start making these crazy moves until not the third year. You know what I mean? He's cutting everybody out this is third year.
Yeah, he
was 15. He let DeSean go. DeSean been with your Redskins for 2 years.
He's going into the second year. With
yeah,
DeSean.
That's what I'm
saying.
For 2 years.
He let him go his second. He let DeSean go. Now, I don't like how they let DeSean go by trying to call DeSean.
And who's the GM?
A gang member.
A gang member.
Who's the GM? Who's the personnel?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Oh, that's on Chip.
Okay,
that's
thank you.
No,
so
no,
how can
no,
you?
No,
okay, the person who does the personnel, that's the GM.
Let me finish. I think he's learning how the NFL works, and I think he's learning how the public perception in Philadelphia works. So I think he thought that labeling him a bad apple, because you can do this in college real quick. You can label a player a bad seed in college, and don't nobody question the head coach. We
True.
See it all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
You question the player's attitude or whatever, and it is law. Being a college head coach, he thought that can fly. So. Mm-hmm. You labeling DeSean and trying to give him bad press, that didn't work. The Riley Cooper situation coming up, how you handle that didn't work, even though I believe there was more money than anything else. And you got to realize at that time, Macklin got hurt. So you really almost had no choice because you had no wide receiver because you already let DeSean go. You know what I mean? And whatnot. So I feel it's more of him thinking that he can play this situation like it's college all the way through and it's not. And so,
he's saving a lot of money for them, though.
But if it doesn't work this year, they're done for the next five seasons. Like, they got to win this year, not next year, especially in the city of Philadelphia.
No.
They got to win this year.
You don't think they got one more year?
No.
I think they have to make the playoffs this year.
Not when I got them at 8-8 and left. No.
I think the
playoffs is over. When they were 10-6, the reason why they lost that game, to New Orleans was because of straight up coaching. He wouldn't run the ball.
I think that
he
needs.
He wouldn't beat the clock up. He got beat in that game because of pure X's and O's.
If they
had a team. Now, he's gutted the team, and now they went last. They started gutting the team last year. They went what? 8-8?
9-7.
Lost twice to Dallas, didn't make the playoffs. You gutted some more this year, and everybody you got at key positions are coming off with major injuries. It's a house of cards to me. One person get hurt, primarily Sam Bradford. It's over. I got them at 8-8, 9-7, the ball bounce right. Injuries happen. They back to 7-9, 6-10.
I think his feet gets warm this year if they don't make the play.
Not in Philly.
Come on now.
I'm gonna say something here. Everybody's up. How long it took for Atlanta to get the seat warm on old boy?
I think the Falcons kept him 3 years too long.
But the fan base didn't get hot until it was time for him to go.
Too long, I'm sorry.
It was, but they didn't get hot till that London game.
Yeah, he started chewing grass.
You know what I mean? To that London game.
When he was playing with that grass, that was.
I'm here to tell you, I think the Philadelphia fan base is much more rabid than the Atlanta Falcons.
They are, of course.
That's what I doubt.
Anybody throw ice and snowballs at their own players. At their own players.
So, if the Philadelphia fan base is much more rabid than the Falcons fan base, cut whatever time frame you're giving them it has.
Let me ask you this.
I'm giving them this season. You said two, I'm giving them this season.
I think his seats get warm if he don't make the playoffs this year. But
let me get warm at game six when they're 2-4.
Let me ask you this. Did Jeffrey Lurie ever care when people were calling for Andy Reid. Andy Reid stayed probably. He almost broke. What's that boy name in Cincinnati?
Marvin Lewis
on record. Longest tenure of mediocrity.
Nobody broke that record.
The only reason why Marvin's still in because he is black. I've been saying that for a couple of years.
He's an affirmative action hire.
No, Marvin Lewis saw somebody in the bed with Caitlyn Jenner. I know it had to be. This one should have been fired 3 years ago.
He saw somebody in that Brown family doing something they ain't had no business doing.
Somebody messed with somebody's money.
How many seasons did Andy Reid have a losing season?
It wasn't many.
Even when he got fired, he had a winning season going.
Wasn't many, but it was like, it's just like with Bobby Cox and with the Atlanta Braves. People were like, when are we going to go to the next level? You know, and I think that's what people kept waiting for with Philly, and that's why they started calling for his head. And Jeffrey Lurie, he let him call. Hey, keep on calling. Because, I mean, like, Andy Reid probably should have been let go maybe 5 or 6 years earlier. I love Andy Reid. I get why they kept him, but they kept him too long. I mean, he rebuilt that team.
I mean, Andy Reid.
How many coaches get the chance to rebuild a team 3 times?
All Andy Reid needs to do is just step away for a year. So he had family issues. That was the real problem. It was family issues. I don't see no family issues with this dude talking about Chip Kelly. I see Chip Kelly getting players that he likes to have. He thought that even if I want to ride with Chip Kelly right now with his philosophy, it didn't win him no significant bowl games in college. Every time he got to a championship game, he got beat by a pro. You know what I mean? By a coach on the other side.
Right. Physical.
That had time, if not time in the NFL. His assistant coaches were NFL at one time coaches.
Yeah.
Even last year, even though Chip Kelly wasn't, you know, obviously that's a different, it's his setup. That coach that's in Oregon now is 24-2. But we all know that's Chip Kelly's team. It's his program.
That's why he wanted Mariota.
What beat him? What beat Oregon in the championship game against Iowa State?
Pro style game.
And who?
What's his name? I can't even think of his name.
Cardale Jones?
No, the coach.
The one
who
Meyer.
The one who got
Urban Meyer.
The one who got tired when they brought down
SEC,
the sanctions.
He put together an SEC style, pro style team in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Give me a big O line, give me running backs, and then give me a solid run stopping defense, and I take my chances with my X's and O's.
And that's the thing where I think people have to realize, I think what we're not talking about is the fact that we as black people, when we feel like there's a good player there, we feel like you can't touch them, and you definitely can't touch them for a white person because he can't be as good as this black person. Let's just be honest. That's part of one of the reasons why there's a slight outrage about this whole thing. Like, if you trade – think about Michael Vick in his heyday. They said, you know what? We're done with Michael Vick. I'm talking about his heyday when he was high in Atlanta and said, we going with Chubb. We would all be screaming racism.
I know, we shall overcome.
You know what I'm saying? But that's purely because when you get an athletic talent that's exciting like that, they're the one on ESPN, they're the one people know about, and you let them go for a LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso don't sound good, but on paper, to be honest, Kiko healthy.
It's a bad man.
That's a game changing linebacker.
If he's healthy.
If it was a fifth, we all be what?
I mean, you're right. He's had one injury.
I can't justify giving up a running back in his prime because McCoy is 26. Even without getting the ball last year, McCoy still had 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
Without getting the ball, so tell me if he fit.
No, he's good.
If he was used, what he would have had.
He's good, but he didn't fit what Chip wanted. I don't have a problem with a head coach getting.
I don't
what
see
he
how
wants.
He didn't fit what he wanted when Chip loves to use a running back that comes out of the backfield that can catch the ball, basically like a wide receiver, which
he can
do that. Now, and I think the thing that most people were surprised about McCoy was that he could run in between the tackles.
Yeah,
everybody
felt
that he was a scat back, a Reggie Bush type person, which Reggie Bush had to reinvent his appearance and image because everybody felt the same way. He could never run between the tackles. You had to put him in open space. So, McShawn is that dual back that can do everything. And That's perfect for Chip's system.
But that goes back to Chip Kelly wanting everything to be done a certain way. So
right.
The problem he had with McCoy was if the play was to hit the A-gap, McCoy might bounce to the C.
Yeah, it's a control
game. Because he was a home run type of back as well. So he wasn't willing to live with the improv that LeSean McCoy would do from time to time.
But
that's the reason why he's having now. So now you get Murray, who is ahead of team.
He is what you want.
I'm hitting the gap that's called. I'm gonna hit it once. I'm gonna hit it twice. And the third time, hopefully, it opens up. Whereas McCoy might hit it once, I might hit it twice, but the third time, I'm taking this looking to the edge because I've seen something. But that just goes back to Chip Kelly's his line of thinking. I say do this, and you do this. No questions.
That's
asked,
what I'm saying.
No improv and everything. Even down to the food. The guys are like, well, if I don't want to eat the bread, this dude got a problem with the red, you know what I mean? He is a control freak to the umpteenth, and I don't think it's going to fly for him.
But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. My point is it's similar to yours, but, you know, I'm a little harder on LeSean McCoy because I noticed things on the field that he just didn't do, i.e. block, which is the whole reason why they had Darren Sproles in there, because – you weren't fully getting the job done that he needed. But Chip Kelly is just that control freak. Even look at what Boykin really said. Boykin was like, he didn't really relate to players. He's one of them. Remember when Coughlin was on his way out in the Giants organization? Because he didn't relate to nobody. And he's the old school coach.
He said he was a control freak.
He
don't relate to people of my culture. There's a difference.
He did, but when he cleared up, he said he didn't say coach. I'm not saying that,
you know, he want another job.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that Boykin was right or wrong. What I'm saying is this is a clear cut case of a college coach that wants it his way. Now, if he wins, nobody cares.
And if they bring a championship, then nobody's gonna complain.
No, nobody cares.
Stephen A. Smith gonna look like an idiot.
But he has to win. Like 10-6 was good, but you got to make the playoffs. You got to win that division. You got to, you know, make it better because otherwise you're gonna be like Nick Saban.
I don't think getting to a wild card and bowing out, you know, at the wild card round is good enough. I think he got to get to an NFC championship, and then the seat gets warm, and then they better make the Super Bowl.
But 10-6 is. I mean,
that's good enough win to eat. That's good enough win.
Cool. Before.
That's cool.
But to your point of Coughlin, was he ever talked about as being a racist? He never did. As you mentioned, he didn't relate to his players. But was he ever mentioned as being a possible racist?
No, but okay. He was mentioned as somebody who had no grip on current culture.
Oh, he's racist.
But
that
it was never insinuated.
What's going
so
on
that's what I'm saying. That's the
think,
difference.
I also think what's going on in the atmosphere brings it up too. So like when Coughlin was going on, you didn't really have. I mean, police have always been bothering minorities, but you didn't have the influx
that,
of the last 2 years.
Still, that didn't have anything to do with that.
No, yeah, it's in the media every day. It's part of it's in the media every day.
I mean,
okay.
The Giants
like,
was
like,
ready
like,
to get him
but
out
the
of
racist comment.
Like domestic violence right now. If I did what Ray Rice did 5 years ago, he'd be playing.
But that's
but if somebody do domestic violence right now, they done. But five more years from now, if somebody do what Ray Rice did, they might be good. It's whatever's currently going on as well as a factor. So I feel race issues is a major factor right now.
It's always been a major factor. It's hotter now, but that had nothing to do with that particular coach. Because just like you said with Coughlin, if it had been insinuated that he was a racist, he would have been out the door. And Strahan would have said it. What's the running back? Barber would have said it because he had a falling out with Coughlin. Those things would have been insinuated and said, especially Barber, because he had hurt feelings once he left.
Oh, man. Yeah.
No.
But how does that not count? Even more reason
to
say
it. They have of it all right there.
Even more reason for him to say it.
Hold on. Don is making an excellent point. However, he's missing one factor. The people that are talking against the Eagles are gone. People with the Giants were still there.
But Barber had left, and he never brought it up.
Oh, Tiki talked about everybody. He never
said anything about Coughlin being possibly a racist.
He said he hated Coughlin guts. That's worse.
I don't know.
Let me ask you this.
Can an Uncle Tom call someone racist?
Can Uncle Tom call somebody racist?
I just want to know who you're talking about.
Tiki.
Talking about Tiki.
I ain't scared of Tiki, Barber.
Yeah, me neither.
I hope I meet him. I ain't scared of him.
He going to fumble anyway.
I know Rondé punked him when they were kids, but go ahead.
I'm going to go back to I just think he it has dealt with a different kind of minority. Like, I work with companies where in California-based companies where they deal with Latinos a lot differently than they deal with African men. And so when they come south for jobs or whatever, it's a different, you know what I mean? Their mindset from the West to the East Coast is totally different when it comes to culture and the whole nine. I see those same kind of factors with Chip Kelly.
So, hey, let me ask you guys this.
They handled the whole Cooper run.
Agreed.
And I will say if Cooper had been African American, they would have clipped him. He wouldn't have, you know what I mean? But we could say that about 1,000 players, you know what I mean? That do something wrong, and we can just boil it down to if it had been so and so, it would have came out. I mean, look what's going on with Tom Brady. You think Tom Brady was Warren Moon? That this would be going on?
Ooh, yeah.
Tom Brady's a hard person to.
I think
he's
Warren Moon.
He's a face, so it's hard to.
If it was Warren Moon, it would have been settled already. Whatever the outcome would have been.
Okay, yeah, because they would have moved swiftly because
exactly.
And that's what I mean. So you know, once you said that, we don't get no for it to be explained and people take their side. It's a decision.
So let me ask you a question: when Chip Kelly cuts Evan Mathis, why is there no issue? Because I know why he cut Evan Mathis.
Number 69, right? The offensive tackle.
Offensive guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That nigga should have been cut when Vic was there, because I watched the plays. That nigga didn't block 90% of the time when Vic got sacked. You go back and watch tape when Vic.
You talking about Tar Harris?
Is he 69?
I can't remember. I have to look that up.
I believe he's talking about the same player. I think it's. That dude got cut. He should have been cut 2 years ago because he was basically playing Matador out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then as soon as they benched Vic and put
your boy Nick
in
Nick,
there,
yeah.
The blocking line changed, you know, improved drastically. They still were sorry, but it improved drastically.
So, Evan Mathis was number 69. But under Chip Kelly, Evan Mathis became a Pro Bowl guard. And he wanted his contract done. From what I hear, Chip Kelly does not like players who put the emphasis on themselves. So he was like, nah, I'm done with you. He let him go. And he needs an offensive guard. He let him go.
Right.
Let him go. Ty Herman's had a lot of critiques about that fast-paced offense and maybe why it didn't work last year. You the first one gone. They need an offensive tackle.
Let me ask you guys this. Let's just say, hypothetically, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, will Bill Cosby and Meek Mill be invited to the parade?
Meek Mill? Who is that?
Meek Mill from Camden, New Jersey, dog. He ain't from Philly no more.
Who is Meek Mill?
Will Smith will.
Is this true?
Yeah. Him and, what's the DJ?
Is Meek Mill
Is
Meek Mill
I got a question about Chip Kelly. Compare his coaching style. I compare him to D'Antoni in basketball. I think they are D'Antoni's way of coaching would have never won a championship purely the way he wanted to win it. But you can see a lot of his style staying golden. You know what I mean? As far as not really having a quote unquote, no one really has a position. Anybody could be the five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is Golden State was in the top five in offense and defense.
No, I get it. No,
that's the only
difference. I get that. But if I come to Chip Kelly, I'm going to go back to, I think his problem is at the end of the day is going to wind up being X's and O's. If he wants to do that, if he wants to do that speed up offense, have everybody in shape, I'm supposed to, by the fourth quarter, be more physically in shape than the opponent. The problem with that is at the end of the day, the core of football is I stop the run, I run the ball, I control the clock. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. I think you, instead of D'Antoni, you mean more, what's that guy that was in New Orleans? Chris Paul had a falling out with him. Byron Scott. That's more similar. Byron Scott wanted to run his people ragged. He wanted you to run up and down his court.
He did it in Jersey. Made three.
And everywhere he go, they can't stand him. And, he makes cuts and stuff, and people don't understand. And it's a similar player.
Well, okay.
But he's the same way. He's just control freak. You're going to do it my way, or I'm going to be out of here.
Well, see, okay. Now, I actually like both of the comparisons, but I think the biggest issue with both of them, you look at the Phoenix Suns, the New Orleans
Phoenix
Hornets,
Suns.
Kobe Bryant. No, you look at Phoenix, New Orleans, and Philadelphia. To me, the biggest problem
on why those teams would never win championships. I love the offense. I love to see it go. It's exciting. It's entertaining. It makes me stay up late at night on Monday nights because it's better than any other game. But the issue is when the plays break down, when you have to go to that schoolyard style of play because the play is completely broken. Mm-hmm. None of those teams ever have that guy who can just, you know, throw me the ball or and I'm going to catch it. Or in basketball, you know, you just get me the ball and get out of my way. That's why they don't ever win.
So
it's more about the system. And if and systems don't always work. It's just like at a job. When you work on a computer program at a job and then all of a sudden the system crashed, but the company still has to run and everybody's sitting around like, oh my God, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? I don't know what to do. And the customer's like, really? I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have some when the chips fall, you still got to go. And that's what the problem is when it's break down in sports and in the workforce.
So basically, listen to all three of y'all opinions. It sounds like to me, we're comparing him. Well, Asa said Dan Tony. Mike said more like Byron Scott.
Yeah, similar.
And all y'all agree, so it just sounds like at the end of the day, he getting fired.
Well, I mean,
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well,
it won't be any time soon, in my opinion.
He basically wants to, you know, redo how offenses are. I mean, he's done it everywhere he's been.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the D2 team he coached at. I want to say it's North Dakota State or something like that. But he redid how they, you know, their program was. He revolutionized that program and that offense, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to Oregon. He revolutionized, you know what I mean, that program. I mean, nobody was talking about Oregon. I gotta give him credit. Nobody was talking about Oregon 10 years ago.
I mean, honestly, it was
USC.
They were just talking about their jerseys. That's about it.
You know, then he got some money from Nike. They filled it in, too. You know what I mean?
But yeah, they had to start winning before they got the jerseys.
Yeah, exactly.
This is true.
Nike's
been there. They've been in the Portland, Oregon area for a long time.
Yeah, that's where Bill Nike's from.
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying they didn't start pumping money into the jerseys and all that until they started winning. No. I don't spend my money, you know, to the swine.
So that's level two. Now he's at level three trying to revolutionize the NFL. I think the talent, unlike in the other two levels, the talent is greater. Talent always wins. I think once you get to this level, NFL, we talk about sorry teams, but I think the talent level is always there. You know, how those teams consistently perform is the difference, and X's and O's.
Right.
So like I said, when he gets to the playoffs or a big game and you look at the coach across the field from you, there's no drop-off at the corner compared to, you know what I mean? Whereas when he's in college, my wide receiver is a senior, and you got a first-year freshman with a day in the headlights. You know what I mean? There's a drop-off physically, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's not that drop-off as deep in the NFL that he has probably used to his advantage at the first two stops in his journey. And that's why I feel it's not going to work. Now, when he's not there anymore, people are going to take parts of his
Oh, yeah. Copycat league.
And they're going to pile it, you know, put it here or put it there. But as a whole, it don't work. It don't work in the NFL. It's not going to work.
I just, even if he does get fired, I'm going to tell you something. I don't have a problem with Chip Kelly. I hear worse things come out of coach's mouth. Sneaky athletic. That's more racist than anything. But with Chip Kelly, the one thing I appreciate about him, if he gets fired, he's going to get fired his way. Too many coaches try to win with other people players, and then they lose. Them players don't get cut. You do. You the first one in there.
And
so you know what? If you're going to get fired your way.
And
don't get fired with nobody else team, with nobody else system. But I want to be able to say I tried with my team, or else you're going to be looking like a Cleveland Brown head coach somewhere.
I feel bad for fans of Philadelphia, because when he does get fired,
the team don't suck.
They're going to be the Cleveland Brown. I just think they won't take that long for them
but
to be.
But he brings in good talent. Now, the one trade.
He really does.
The one trade that baffled me. And it, I can understand wanting to get rid of Nick Foles because of the that injury that he had. I forgot whatever type of injury he had. I think they were saying it was something with his arm.
Yeah, it does.
But regardless of the injury, I know Nick Foles has a tendency to throw interceptions, but he's talented. Sam Bradford don't stay on the field.
Yeah.
So I was a little baffled as
they traded one weak quarterback for another one. is what
you. Who would you rather have though between those two?
Nick Foles.
That's what I'm saying.
Because Bradford ain't played a whole season yet.
And if you telling me you done cut your O line and you clipping good plays off your O line, how strong is your O line this year with a quarterback who can't?
Well, they run.
At least
Nick Foles
knows the system too. You bringing in Bradford,
that's
who
true.
Has to learn the system.
And I'm afraid because he gets injured so much. If I was an Eagles fan, that would be the one. I would not question DeSean Jackson. I have been known to say I was not a big fan of DeSean as far as being a number one. I've never looked at him as a number one. So, I mean, if you look how short he is, I don't see him going up.
So was Steve Smith a number one?
Yes, Steve Smith is a different.
They're the same height.
Let me explain.
You're going
he's
off
a
height.
He's
no,
a different height. That's a different.
I don't think Steve Smith was always
Fitz
number
Gerald
one.
Tall either. It's Gerald Little too.
I don't think he was always number one. Because Steve Smith played. He played
he
with
Moose
Muhammad.
There you go.
And Moose Muhammad was a big dude.
Yeah.
I think that once you get some years under your belt and learn the techniques, the craft of the position, then yeah, you can become a number one. Because he is a nightmare, and I'm so happy he's in Baltimore because he is a scary dude. I like him.
But
cornerbacks think he's scary too. It's on the same team.
Yeah, he'll beat them up.
I kind of disagree a little bit with them not knowing the system, and I mean, I get it. There's gonna be some new innuendos, but I think Bradford and Murray came out of the same system in Oklahoma that he's kind of implemented now. So
yeah.
There's some familiarity. I mean,
playbook. Already gone through the entire playbook Foles has, so you bringing in someone else who has to learn it.
I know the curve ain't that big.
Right,
the
exactly.
The curve is not as big.
Now, Murray got his big contract, and before he got his big contract, he stayed hurt.
And I was just getting there.
So you have
he's going to be hurt next year.
A Samuel L. Jackson unbreakable backfield.
Well, I'm not.
You know?
Well, they got Ryan Matthews. Never mind.
You have a Samuel L. Jackson, unbreakable backfield.
All the players he brought in this year, and all of them have had a major injury in the last 12 months.
But that's my thing. The whole thing is a crapshoot. It's like you get Sam Bradford, you traded injury for injury. You just got Murray in the back, and then you already got problems with your offensive line. That's why I'm going crazy. Like, what's going on?
But
I would take
my
chance with Foles
over Bradford. The middle linebacker is the quarterback of your defense. He's coming off a major knee injury as well. So you're looking at both of your key components on the offense and the defensive side,
right,
who really run your team. I bet your dollar that don't neither one of them make it through the 16 games.
Why my dollar? Because I bet the same thing.
The first rule of being rich is always somebody else's money.
Never mind. I know where Nick Foles going.
Wait, interception machine, right?
This is a contract year.
Oh yeah, he's about to get paid. Mm-hmm.
Contract year.
But he is an interception machine.
He was showcased enough to where he was the right amount of trade bait too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's gonna be great in St. Louis.
Yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, St. Louis is only like two players away.
All they were missing last year was a quarterback.
Especially in. You got to look at the division he's playing in. Probably one of the toughest divisions in it, with Arizona, Seattle, and San Francisco's falling off now because everybody got concussions and retired. But before that, they were the toughest division.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, St. Louis went undefeated with a tie in the division, but they couldn't beat anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They went 7-9-1. So at that point, you're like, we're this close. We can beat everybody in our division. We're just a couple of players away. One being a quarterback, as you mentioned, and making sure that Long stays healthy and get some other protection on the opposite side at left guard. And that was it.
I love their defensive line, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, you want to be a part of the conversation, call 347-215-9490. But I just don't know. To me, it just kind of looked like Philadelphia as far as I just didn't understand some of them trades or some of them pickups. That's just me. I think they were collecting a lot
of
balls.
It's just that he just want to build. He wants, like Mike said earlier, he wants his team. If you're going to go out, you want to go out swinging the way you want to go
out.
Sure do. You don't, because, okay. Had Deshaun, and they just wasn't his guys. They just black. I mean, Nick Foles.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm saying Nick Foles wasn't his guy. He's white. The the guards that you guys are talking about, they're white. Riley Cooper is
cheap. So now
you're
going back to him being a racist.
No, I'm saying he getting rid of.
Well, you know what?
I'm going to tell you what. The color he loved the most is
green.
That's it. And not eagle green. We talking money green.
Oregon green.
Because
all the players came from Oregon.
Yeah. I feel the way they've handled some situations is legitimate with being with the race card. Like the Riley Cooper situation, I put that on race. I even put the Deshaun. I give you the Deshaun. Deshaun Jackson.
Okay.
I give that race too, because you don't. You know, once again, you don't try to destroy a guy's character like that. Like, this dude had already been in the league 4, 5, 6 years or whatever.
Never been in trouble.
Wasn't in trouble when he was at Cap.
But wasn't he throwing up gang signs and stuff on the field?
That's what they said.
Oh,
yeah, that's what he did.
No, that's what he did.
Okay, well, hey, I can take Dez for putting up a gang sign. I can take a couple of things that players do on the field that you can take for. Or we don't fuss about Serena crip dancing at the Wimbledon. But I'm just saying, we can't have it both ways. So, okay, but coming from Compton, you try to tell me anybody, Serena, coming from Compton, don't know how to crip walk,
she can't
don't
do
know
nothing
a couple
wrong.
Of gang signs. You feel what I'm saying? If you come from a certain environment, don't try to all of a sudden try to tell me now they're not supposed to really have some part of their environment come out. It's got to be controlled. But
Serena can't do wrong.
I'm sorry.
We don't try to destroy Tom Brady's background when he had twins, not the normal way. You get what I'm saying?
True.
So I'm just saying, Riley Cooper, racist, yes.
Okay.
John Jackson, racist, yes.
But all
the
this was under Chip Kelly's regime, and while he was not only head coach, but he is also GM. He is in charge of personal
player personnel.
So he decides who goes and who comes, who stays, who leaves. So if you're saying all those things were racist under his regime, under his control, under his watch, under his doing, but he's not racist?
No. I say racist. I'll give you that because we can argue.
I'm
about
to moonwalk like Michael Jackson right now.
I'm not moonwalking. I said I'll give you those two instances.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But
those two instances, because I said they were made because of who the people were. We can look at, like I said, I can take any organization and be like, yeah, the decision was made because of, you know what I mean?
Right.
X, Y, but that doesn't.
You can start backsliding over here, too.
No, I don't think it's
okay.
Right.
It's all right.
This is my thing. Okay, like with the whole gang sign thing with Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, really?
Me, personally, I don't care. But if the head guy of an organization said, you know what? What was that he just did? Oh, I don't like that. He got to go because I don't want that type of. How can I get mad as a fan? I mean, should all that stuff been out in the media? Of course, Chip Kelly has handled some things wrong. But I'm just saying.
And I give a reason why I thought he handled that way. I thought because in college you can do that and no one questions you. You can say
he's doing a lot of stuff like he's in college is
a headache. You can say a student athlete is a troublemaker and everybody will be like, oh, I get it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because whatever, college coaches have that kind of control,
mm-hmm.
especially if you had a program that's dominant. So we bring up Alabama. You know what I mean? Yes, Saban can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's a god in Tuscaloosa. You know what I mean? He's almost a god within the ESPN college football. You know what I mean? Because he's won at LSU, he's won at Alabama, and then SEC wind up being dominant for the last 10, for the last decade.
Yeah.
So he's a money machine. Whatever he says, basically, we take at face value.
He has a lot of lifts.
It doesn't work that way in the NFL.
He has a lot of lifts on his
rectum. It doesn't work that way at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to call it racist, I roll with you with that. I mean, I disagree, but I roll with you on that, but I don't think that's his major issue. His major issue is
first of all, y'all went from hey, he ain't racist.
You don't
now y'all saying, oh, I can see it.
No, I didn't.
I don't think he's racist.
I don't think he's racist.
All I said was with that smoke, that's fine. That was my only comment.
Let me say
to
this.
Start
this
out.
Mike, we got to bring the Tigers. We got two races, and we got two non-races.
This is what I'm saying. No, seriously, this is what I'm saying. Like you said, when there's smoke, there's fire. I'm a true believer in it. That's all I'm saying. Like,
okay, so down the line, start with you, Rashad, racist or not, and give you reason real quick. Let's go.
Racist. If anybody knows me, I'm quick to throw that race card. I mean, because it's a lot of things I'm not understanding what he is doing. It's not making sense to me, and it's not adding up.
Okay, he's racist.
All right, let's go to Ace, the one part of DNA Sports Talk.
Not racist.
What's your reason?
I say it again. I think he's making his decisions based on how he's handled the majority of his career through the college ranks. And so what he says goes. That's just, and I think he's learning PR on the job.
Woo.
And that's the worst place to learn PR is on the job. Yeah. And so I think if he had a chance to redo how the story leaked about LeSean McCoy getting traded, he would do, because he tried to do it better with Boykins this time. You know, he had a little press conference and was like, you know, we basically had spoken to Pittsburgh and several teams at draft day. He gave some insight to, you know what I mean? He didn't get that insight with McCoy getting cut. It was like, woke up, McCoy gone. He didn't get that insight to Vincent, to Trey. It was woke up and your six-year veteran middle linebacker gone. You didn't get that insight to the offensive tackle. Woke up, gone. You know what I mean? So everybody in Philly's like, man, what is this dude doing? Every time I wake up, somebody on the team that was good and productive is gone. PR. I think he's learning PR on the job. So now he's making the move. And like I said, the Boykin story, they both kind of backtrack. Boykin backtracked on his culture statement and, you know, maybe gave some more explanation. And Chip Kelly had more of a formal interview on why the decision was made. It still didn't make sense because you're only going to get a fourth round draft out of them. You know what I mean? When, you know, you look at the NFC East, it's where the league in general is pass oriented and favorable. So you need as many D-backs as you need, but, you know, let them go for a fourth round pick because you all know Pittsburgh going to play them 60% of the time
fourth
round. It still don't make sense, but at least he's learning how to, Lisa let me explain, and nobody said no more. You know what I mean? When he explained, he was like, okay, dumb move. Let's keep it moving. If he hadn't said nothing, they would have been like, what is this dude doing again?
You're right. Okay, we got Aza. I got to go to Don because he looked like he's chomping at the bit. All right, let's go to Don. Racist or not, and what's your reason?
Does a fish piss in the ocean? Then yes, he is. I mean, there's no other way to say it, but yeah. Now, there are levels to it. And, you know, you can have those that are up front, confrontational, in your face. Then you have the ones that are more subtle. Same way as, you know, you trade in the Ku Klux Klan with sheets on for people in the workforce who pass you over for certain jobs. It's the same. It's still racism. It's just different levels to it. One is more subtle. One is more up front and in your face. That's what Chip Kelly is more subtle. It's not going to come off as automatically you can detect it, which is why all the innuendos and assumptions that the way he's handled things have been racist. Everybody here has agreed the way he handled Deshaun was racist. The way he didn't discipline Riley Cooper was racist. So you can't sit up there and say, no, you're not, just because it comes in a small package that's easily undetected.
Marlon Copeland.
How do I feel about the Kelly plantation? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say he's not racist and see Asa. Everything Asa said, that's what
I am going to be the tiebreaker. Chip Kelly is not racist, man. Now, I will say this. Don has made a lot of points. So I will say that I think he has a particular problem with the type of culture that those people exuded. LeSean McCoy, Sean Jackson.
They just
act very similar. I'm just going to say that. Jeremy Maclin, I think, was just pure money. I'm sorry. I think we can all agree that was just pure money.
But I think Deshaun was the same.
I mean, Deshaun, let's say.
I couldn't pay either one. I would pay Maclin before
I paid. Either way, hold on. Let me finish. I ain't interrupt you. I'm just saying, Don made a lot of good points.
Yeah,
it could be he don't like that type of player, but do I think race had anything to do with it? I don't. And besides, if you got a big problem with Jeremy Maclin or Deshaun Jackson, they just drafted after Nelson Aguilar. They're going to be better than both of them. Now shove that. Shout out to Mike B. He's the only USC player I give props to.
Oh, he went to USC?
He went to USC.
Jeremy Maclin was going to be better.
USC, when they lost their scholarship, wide receiver.
Look, I want y'all to name me the last good USC player in the past 4 years.
Woo. I'm not doing this, Mike B. We are cool.
Woo.
I'm not doing this. In the past four years. Offensively? Because defensively,
they
still
put them out. And I'm gonna say they came out of Oregon, which would have been USC boys anyway, because they went there because of scholarships. That's the only reason why Oregon has been good.
Well, all their offensive kids suck.
Who?
USC.
Because the speed was going up north.
Name one.
No, nah, they didn't have.
Definitely at quarterback.
You
don't go to USC to be a quarterback
and running
in the NFL or running back.
Why? One of their best running backs was a killer. On the field.
His personal email is, I told y'all last week. I love OJ, man. Did you say something? OJ's great.
Hey, okay.
Hey, I could have been talking about Marcus Allen. He went there.
We all know what you're talking about.
All right, well. Okay, so. We touched on this whole racism thing. Let's go ahead and talk about some black-on-black crime. So, in the Dallas training camp, Dez Bryant decided to put his hands on Tyler Patman. And the question is, a lot of people are like, why do they do all this? Like, it's not normal. Me, personally, it's normal in training camp. I don't know how many times Steve Smith done put his hands on somebody when he was in Carolina.
Put that dude whatever bone he broke.
Right.
When he broke number 21.
The only reason why this is a story, number one, is because it's Dallas. Number one is because it's Dallas. And they were the ones that put the story out before anybody else did.
That's true. That's very true.
They put that story out because after Dez got his money, they weren't a story anymore. It was back to Tom Brady, which I think is another reason why the whole Tom Brady and the Deflategate has kept on, because there has been no big stories in the NFL. And the NFL is a billion-dollar conglomerate, so they have to keep themselves in the news at all times. So nothing else is being talked about. Everybody's going through OTAs, mini camps, nothing big. As you mentioned, everybody fights in training camp, mm-hmm. nothing new. But because Dez did get a contract,
just got it.
Okay, we'll release this ourselves and make it seem like it's something bigger than what it is.
I can run with that.
I don't like fighting on the field unless it's hockey, because they really fight. But I don't like fighting on the field. I do see it if it has a point to it, but when it's pointless, I just don't see it.
Wait till they start playing different teams in scrimmages.
I mean, yeah.
And like training camp is applying for the job. You know what I mean? So you got to play. You got a mixture of stuff going on. You got the veterans who really don't want to be there, but they got to be there because they cut
contractually.
And it's hot. And then you got the new guys trying to get a job. You know what I mean?
To get seen,
who do I go after? I can't go after the quarterback. So I'm going after whoever the highest profile guy on the team is. So if I'm a cornerback, I'm getting under Dez Bryant's skin as much as I can.
But if you fight,
looks at me.
You fight Dez Bryant, though,
Did the dude
put yourself on the hot seat, because if you hurt him, you go.
Did the dude throw a punch back at Dez?
Oh, yeah. He did.
They went at it. But they both went to Oklahoma State, though.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So,
yeah.
That's another thing is.
So they might have known each other.
They known each other. Right.
Oh, there's something else.
Dez left with one of his
guys. Something else.
I think Dez had
he slept with Dez's mother.
Oh, don't you quite hate me. But
so what,
his mama got paid. His mama got paid for it, so that don't count.
Give the people your personal email address, because it's definitely not coming to DNASports.com.
You gotta say that you
ain't coming to 484-8-4-0. You gotta get your personal email out, man.
Look, it's no secret. His mama work at night, okay?
Dang, you just
said I'm talking about bagging groceries. I ain't talking about all that other stuff. I'm talking about
Walmart is 24 hours.
She bagging.
That's supposed to be.
She ain't Skylar Diggins' mama, though.
God,
oh,
no.
Gosh. Lord have mercy.
Nah, but, okay, look.
Seriously,
I'm drawing the line. I'm drawing the line with my Skylar mama. Now I'm drawing the line. That and Serena, we got to stop.
This is how I feel about it. You know, like, I played high school sports, and I played, like, 1 year semi-baseball, like, shortly after school. You're always going to have competition. And it's always going to be fierce. Even in baseball, it is. Because you, like, someone like me, I'm so competitive to where I have a paranoia of I do not want to be benched. That's like death to me. If I was a pro athlete and someone offered me a $6 million contract to go here to be a backup, and somebody said, we'll give you $4 million to be a starter, I will go with the starter. That's how I am, because I want to be a part of it. So I understand it's always going to be fights. I mean, like, I didn't always get along with a lot of my teammates when I played sports. We didn't get along until the season started, because I was comfortable by then, because I had already got my position and wasn't nobody going to take it away from me. So I get it. That's just how it is. There's always going to be fights. There's always going to be skirmishes. There's always going to be, you know, people meeting, looking at each other like, yeah, what you looking at? You know, and stuff like that. Or, you know, if I hit a home run, you know, you're going to be like, oh, he think he all that. Let me go out there and try to hit one. You strike out trying to outdo me. It's just a competitive nature. That's how it is.
Man, I'm just saying, if you fight me over something petty, like, there ain't no breaking us up. Like, I'm going to catch you in the locker room. Like, we going to go at it. Like, I think they said afterwards, Dez Bryant apologized. Old dude apologized. They cool. Nah, you're not going to fight me over nothing petty. Now, it's different if it meant something and we got to fighting, because at least it has a purpose to it, just as a man. But you ain't just going to, like, you seen how Dez threw a haymaker? First of all, Dez can't fight. Old dude can fight.
How the hell
he got some bobbing and weaving to him. Dez can't fight.
No.
Dez can't fight. I saw that. But he threw a hard haymaker. Hey, he connected. That was that was a knockout.
But that's how sports is, man. I mean,
you're not going to hit me. You better have a good reason.
I'm
Jermaine O'Neal hitting a fan on the court, that's a good reason.
That's sliding.
That's a good reason. You get hit with a fastball from Nolan Ryan, that's a good reason.
No, but I'm saying your own teammate. I'm telling you, if you play organized sports at any level, you're going to have anxiety or, you know, those tenuous moments with them, and you guys are going to either fight, argue, or whatever, but you will make up. Just how it is. You may not even fully like each other, but just because you guys are on the same team going for the same cause, you'll make up for the betterment of the team. That's just how it is.
Yeah, but okay. This guy, this cornerback, right? He's not solid on his position. I mean, at most, he can try to DC, you know, dethrone Mo Claiborne, which ain't that hard. But, I mean, at the most, that's what he can do.
Is Terrence Newman still there?
No.
I'm being funny.
Is he still alive? Where you at?
Cincinnati. So, actually, I think he went somewhere else. Or did he stay in Cincinnati? Anyway, it's beside the point. This guy, okay, you're a corner, right?
Okay.
You're going to get this fight with Dez Bryant. You say, we're going to make up because we on the same team. If he don't make the team, somebody got to catch this fade. I'm not going to get embarrassed on TV. My kids watch ESPN. You're not going to swing at me. If I got to get cut, I'm going to the locker room and Dez catching a fade. And I ain't talking about with Clippers. He going to get it. I'm sorry. You're not going to just do me any kind of way. It's different if it's two people that's known. They not going nowhere. Dez Bryant and Greg Hardy, they get to fight. I ain't got a problem with them making up. Cause they gonna be on the team for a long time.
Right.
I'm a corner that's not guaranteed a spot. I got to swing on you. I got to win the fight.
There's probably no data with it, but I almost can say 80-90% of the fights that happen in training camp is always with a veteran against someone trying to get a spot on the team. Or if both players are fighting, both of them are fighting to try to get a spot on the team. It's like, you know, I think to be noticed and to be seen, you do whatever you have to do to be noticed and be seen. If I'm the cornerback, I need to make a name for myself. I don't think, granted, you don't want to hurt the star player, but I'm going to be a little extra chippy with the star player, especially when it's time for one.
You have to.
I got to. It's, you know what I mean? Now, it gets under the star player's nerves because I know I got this job. I don't want to be here in the first place. You know what I mean? You ask anybody, they don't want to be the OTAs. I don't want to be here in the first place. Holler at me when we get time to start playing preseason games, but I don't want to be here for the first couple of weeks. Because this is why. Because I know I'm going against some joker who's trying to get on, and all he's going to do is get on my nerves for the first 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So I just...
But if he gets chippy, all right, I'm actually looking at footage of it now. If he gets chippy and as a cornerback, not even as a cornerback, as a person whose spot is not solidified, I got to make a play now. Because my name, my fame cannot be, I just got to fight with Dez Bryant. Because that's not going to keep you on the team. You got to be chippy, get into
not
that fight, and then next, make a play. That's
yeah, but right, but right to your point, though, you got to make the team and prove that you went after the best player because you're on that same level as that person.
Right.
Let me ask you guys this. How many of you guys play organized sports?
Okay, you're talking about this on
in
all
general,
in
general. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever walked into a locker room as the new guy and the older guys or the veteran guys kind of give you like, you know, kind of shun you and kind of treat you as if, you know, I've had that happen to me before.
Yes.
You got to come in there and prove yourself. You know, it's weird to say. I've never been to prison, but it seemed like going to training camp and stuff like that is just like walking into prison. Like, you got to come in and prove yourself.
Your first day of school.
Yeah,
school.
Or your first day of
you
school.
Know what I mean? Now, we talking about it. You know who's happy? Again, I'm going to go back. Dallas is happy. They fan base is rabid right now. They probably, everybody know who dude that got in there with Dez. Now they watching him. So if this dude doesn't make it, or if he does or doesn't make it, it's still good for him. So let's say he's good, but for whatever reason, he's just not good enough, whoever. That doesn't mean he doesn't wind up.
Maybe he's more of a nickel package.
He winds up somewhere else.
Then he goes somewhere else.
It's no win lose for him. He's like, thank you.
No, it is a lose.
But you still got to be good. Though.
Thank
you.
You
still got to prove yourself.
If he draws that attention,
right.
And all we notice is how you messing up on
exactly.
The field because preseason coming.
It's
right.
A risk. It's a risk you got to take.
I'm
going to
tell you why.
I don't know what his depth chart is, but it's a risk you got to take.
I'm going to tell you why it's good
for him.
I think
he's only second on the depth chart.
I'm going to tell you why it's good for him. The reason why it's good for him, because if he does get cut just because of the logistics of the team, another team would look at him, the front office. We're not talking about the players. The players, it's the same everywhere, how they treat you or whatever when you walk into the locker room. But the front office would say, that kid is scrappy. That kid, got to bring him in, at least talk to him and see what happens. And if they like what they see, you'll get a tryout just because they think you're scrappy. Or you got hustle, or you got moxie about you. You'll get a tryout just based off of that.
You need somebody to mix it up.
What is he, like 30th on the depth chart?
He's like fourth depth at right corner.
Which is why he needs to do so.
And there's two other left corners that can play. He's about six deep.
Okay, so, but that's why.
Calculated move. What he needs to do is talk to the old boy that tried to be
and
calculated.
What year is he?
I'm not sure. I actually think he's a rookie. I'm pretty sure he's a rookie.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
See?
Jesus.
Gotcha.
Told you. Oklahoma State.
What happened? Did he sit out 1 year?
He looked like Brian Palmer.
Oh, Jesus. As long as he don't rap.
You know who should have been discalculated?
Who?
I'm going to give you one guess.
In football?
Yeah.
Who they play for?
Nah, he don't play now.
Oh.
He tried to get a reality show instead of trying to be in discalculated.
Oh, who you talking about?
Oh, you ain't
Ocho
right.
Cinco?
No, he ain't right.
Nah, he ain't talking about Ocho.
Let's take some calls.
I'm talking about old boy.
Michael Sam.
Yeah, this was, he should have been.
Oh, Oprah was gonna give him a reality show, right?
He should have been miscalculated, go on the field, call some fights, do some work, get it in, try to meet the team, not try to get a reality show. You know what I mean?
He wouldn't try to punch; he'd be wrestling.
You took the alley-oop too, didn't you? You took my cue and let it go.
He was like, he did like.
You had the rim. Your car was up there. You just had to go get it.
Peyton the Kemp.
Man, look, all I'm saying is
it was so good in
there. That was Miami Heat, Gary Payton to Cleveland Cavaliers, Sean Kemp.
Yeah.
That was not a pretty alley-oop.
All I'm saying is this, man. When it comes to fighting on the field, I get it. I get it if it makes a point, but if it don't make no point, then, like, if I'm in the corner, you got to catch this fade somewhere. Locker room, on the field, preseason, sideline, I'm going to snuff you. Because if I'm not going to make the team, my kid not going to watch me just get swung on like I'm a sucker.
It'll be the last day of school.
Well, okay, man, your estimation.
It'll be a last day of school for him.
Last day.
In your estimation, you saying that old boy kind of, I guess it seems like you kind of say he kind of won a little bit. Like, if you had to pick a winner, you would say he's that guy.
He wasn't a winner because nobody connected, but he did have some good dodging moves.
He
gave him some dodging moves now. I was disappointed in Dez. Supposed to be hard. And he
actually, I mean, he still might just want to make the practice squad. I still get a check for making the practice squad.
Yeah, I mean, my only thing
he
is.
He has incentives.
Hey, they make all right money, like $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. Come on, make $100,000. Hey, I'd be on the practice
and then
squad.
Dez is like, go fuck. That's why I give props to Steven Smith. Steve Smith, he didn't care who he was. Starting corner, starting safety, the most important player on the team. He would have swung on Keekly if he could have. Why are you going after a cornerback who
that probably
would have
been
trying to make
mistake.
The team?
That's a big old.
Because that corner didn't start that.
That's
started.
Crazy, though. I wouldn't be shocked if
that's
he did.
That's a big old dude.
Steve Smith, he got Napoleon complex real bad. Didn't he fight somebody in Baltimore, too?
No.
I think he fought somebody in Baltimore.
He fought a Falcon. I know that.
Wait, and won. Yeah, and won. He fought Ishmael?
Yes, he fought him off.
So I didn't see that.
Gosh. If you losing the game, you got to win the fight. And
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Hey, man, look. This show, Up for Discussion, brought to you by 4 Home Field Advantage. We are based in Atlanta, and in high school, we had a motto. If you lose the game, you do not lose the fight. There were several times I went to Tri-City High School at East Point, and we were horrible.
Who was you guys rival then?
Everybody.
Banneker.
Yeah.
Banneker. At first it was Doug, but then they had somebody that died, then they tried to blame us.
So if you start it, you got to finish it.
Yeah, I mean.
So if you have somebody who sings and raps, then you got to back it up. You can't be no back-to-back and no three-peat. I'm just asking questions.
The people of Philadelphia.
Okay.
DonSenson@hotmail.com.
Hey, it's okay.
I don't know the
really turn on him.
Email yet, yeah, really I'll be passing them out.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Did you see that video?
I saw it.
It was a video of some goons. They was like, hey, Drake, you good in Philly.
Yeah.
Me, don't come back.
Yeah.
I thought you from Camden, New Jersey, man. Look at them Philadelphia no more. Across the state line.
Is that your world tour or your girls tour?
Gosh. I wonder what did Bill Cosby have to say about that. he's the most OG Philadelphia native.
Right?
This is
pudding.
True.
He's slanging Molly before we knew what Molly was.
Teron Lue didn't get dropped for this. Me got to recover, man. He can't. Dark skinned guy's been winning for a while.
It's over.
And now he just come mess it up. We ain't been losing this much since Prince was big. Ain't nobody got time for this meat. And you started it.
Why
y'all depending on him, though? I'm just saying,
I knew what was going to happen.
I knew what was going to happen.
You know, the only way that meat has a chance to win, he's going to have to physically beat the hell out of Drake. That's the only way.
No, because then at that point, he didn't got too emotional.
Yep.
And he still loses.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's over.
Just get you a ghostwriter and get some bars, man. Ain't nobody... Everybody got ghostwriters.
I think he's way too late for that now.
I was going to say, yeah.
Just count it as an L and wait till
if
you
win the Nats
3 or 4 months later.
About to be MG. Are they gonna lose one to M?
That's hysterical.
And it's why he did it. How you gonna say he didn't tweet about my L, boy? God.
Yeah, and he was trying to buy you from buy your contract to keep you straight. But no,
the whole thing was stupid. Bottom line, it was dumb. He bit off.
Hey, you got to give props to Drake, though. That was about as calculated. I mean, every move Drake has made has been pure calculation.
He just elevated himself.
I mean, this is straight destruction.
He need to do PR work for Sam.
He pulled out the Fresh Prince. He had the Fresh Prince laughing at you. Fresh Prince. There's millions. The man made Summertime. Summertime. He had him laughing at you. Golly, boy. You will not disrespect parents don't understand.
As soon as I get your personal view, I'm going to let people know it is so the hate mail is coming.
Oh, my God. Look, I respect Will Smith. I ain't going to sit here and act like the Fresh Prince is like in my top five.
But, I mean, he can make a verse without a curse.
You know, I wish I could repeat what Eminem said. Well, I do.
We'll meet him and meet him too.
But yeah, all right, come on, get back to this to this fighting thing.
Yeah, okay. So
I'm just saying, okay. Yeah. Let me say this real quick. What I do like is when everything. Okay, we talked about Drake. Drake's calculated. When you like in baseball, when they storm the mound, a lot of times ain't a whole bunch of punches thrown. But it's a reason for why they storm the mound a lot of times.
I can't even tell you last time I seen punches thrown.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time.
But contracts are inflating. So, look, like Jalen Rose says, I want somebody to come and hold me because this is
yeah,
what I make
yeah,
my money
from. I remember he said that, yeah.
You going to fight
come
like...
Come hold me.
You going to fight like Carmelo?
Backpedal. Don't talk about Melo like that, man.
Who was he fighting?
Nate Robinson?
No. Nate swung J.R. Smith in the crowd, and then your boy swung on old boy I can't stand. Indiana. You know who I'm talking about.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He's in Indiana now?
No. He played for Indiana in college. You know who I'm talking about. I can't think of his name. I really don't want to say his name. I don't. Good.
Jeffrey.
There you go. Just say that. Keep moving.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, it was Jared Jeffrey.
But nobody's going to fight because of the financial ramifications.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, granted, if you're someone like, let me think of someone, like Max Scherzer.
You got
I'm going to punch you in your face because I'm already guaranteed my 213.
But you got just certain, doesn't matter. So if you look at basketball and NBA, you got Metal World Peace.
Yeah, nobody's going to fight him.
But, I mean, he's going to throw bows. Garbage. You know what I mean? He gonna throw.
God.
You know what I mean?
He's gonna throw everything.
James Harden.
You get into baseball. You got a couple of guys who you know.
I think it's missing in baseball.
Nah, there's a couple in there, but they don't throw at Victor Cruz. They don't throw at. There's a few batters you just don't throw at.
You mean Nelson Cruz or Victor Martinez?
No,
Victor Martinez is a crazy guy.
You got a few you don't throw at. Baseball too mentality. They police themselves too.
So they do.
I necessarily don't gotta fight. It's gonna be like a hockey. I protect my stars. So if you being one guy, I'm being you. We can do this all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're gonna get in the locker room.
Don't come back to the dugout
right.
if you don't make that happen. So they police themselves. Football, you know, they trying to clean that up as much as possible now. But you know, you still got a few hotheads. No, I call it hotheads, but you know, they draw the line. Steve Smith talked about him.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, yeah, Domagan Sue was still a throwback to the, you know, 80s and the 90s as far as it don't matter. I'm going to put your face into the dirt, regardless of contracts or whatever, mm-hmm. or suspension, I'm going to make it happen. But, they, you know, they watering down a lot of the players. They water them down from Pop Warner now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Greatest fight I ever seen, though, was the Pacers.
The brawl at the palace.
The brawl,
yeah.
The malice at the palace.
And what people won't say is they won't give credit to that. Fans clean they act up after that. They won't give. They won't give. Call them, it's Metta World people. I want to call them what
Mama. No, call them. No, that's his name.
You better respect him.
What the NBA won't say, and they won't ever give him credit for. Fans clean their act up after that, because we had gotten to a point where, you know,
it was reckless.
And you didn't realize these dudes is 6'8".
And we are back. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Dez Bryant swung on the computer.
There's too much fighting going on.
Can't talk about that man moment.
But I do want to say this. I appreciated that brawl at the Palace, because fans needed that. You need to learn consequences. A lot of these guys holding back. You ran up against people that weren't ready to hold back.
Yeah.
That's all that was to it. Like, I especially love, I mean, I hate to talk about, like, I like violence, but especially that guy that came on that court and he squared Jermaine O'Neal up. And Jermaine O'Neal,
gave it to him.
I said, please let him know you're an athlete. And Jermaine O'Neal gave him that jug.
I told him, like, it was like Sub-Zero, that Sub-Zero slide, and he just hit him.
Oh, yeah, he slid and put. Hey, I appreciated that. That's one of the best fights. I will say, it's one of the best fights I've ever seen. That one of the best two pieces I've ever seen. No, he won the two
Chris
piece.
Child,
more accident, no, it's not even Chris
more
Child.
Than Floyd.
Because technically, Chris Child, one of them punches landed on his neck. I'm talking about Anthony.
You ever punched in your neck?
I know, right?
I mean, that's a
side of the neck. He was aiming for the
he
jaw.
He hit him in the gullet, man. That hurts.
Yeah.
If you ever get, like, I got hit with a baseball right there, so I can imagine what a
ooh,
punch
did
is.
Chris,
what
knot?
The
that
world?
Hurt.
Yeah.
It was like a knot on your throat.
Nah, it just, I mean, it was just painful.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus Christ. But, no, it's Anthony Pillar and Kevin
swallow.
Garnett.
Oh, Anthony.
Paul.
What the world is going on here?
Mike, you're right, though.
But Anthony Pillar, Kevin Garnett. Because I was sick of Kevin Garnett stuff at that point.
Now,
oh, he elbowed him.
It was an elbow.
It was an elbow.
It was more, I think it probably hurt, but Garnett was more like, he really just hit him.
Yeah,
Like, it's just like when you're a kid and your mom is fussing at you and you're not really paying attention to what she's saying. And she's like, boy, I said. And you're like, did she just hit me? That's exactly what that.
No, look.
He wasn't expecting that.
It's the way it looked, too.
Right.
He had been messing with Anthony Pillar that whole game. Anthony Pillar, what, about 6'1"?
And that was his homeboy. You know, they were close.
He about 6'1".
Right.
Kevin Garnett almost 7 feet. Man, Anthony Pillar almost looked like he jumped up there. He elbowed him in the jaw. I said, I love it. Sometimes I appreciate it. But that Dez Bryant stuff, nah, man, I actually wish the old dude would have swung on, Dez Bryant. I actually connected because he needed it.
Sorry. You can't do it, though.
All right, so let me ask you this then, Mr. LaVelle. Would you, if you're up to bat and you're playing a rival team you're having a problem with, and you get hit by a pitch, are you charging the mound?
You get hit by a pitch, are you going to
I get hit by a pitch, and am I charging the
mound? Are you charging the mound?
Depends on the situation. In baseball, it does matter. Like, is this knife in it, and we need some momentum and energy? Yeah, I charge the mound.
No, you don't charge the mound in a knife in it. Not a knife in it.
I mean,
anything 7 and back.
Okay.
You
put like this. We down by 3 and we need some momentum. We done lost it. Do I take a shot later on in the game? Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Now, if you losing really bad and they hit you, then in the
no,
knife, you charge.
I mean, yeah, because you got to win the fight. But if this, like, first inning, no.
No, that's when you charge. I'm
not charging
you.
For that.
For the first inning to the seventh inning, that's when you charge in baseball. Ninth inning, you can't charge because they need you more.
Yeah,
than
right. The game on the line more likely if you're doing that.
First inning, you need to run out there and rock bottom. Just grab them, boom, just do it. But
yeah,
anything after the seventh inning, no.
Yeah, baseball is tough. Right? It all depends. Football, no.
Football, I mean, baseball.
It's a collision sport. Like, I can get you legally.
Baseball has a lot of unwritten rules that you like.
Yeah.
You have. I think you really have to play the game like as a kid and grow up, and then you just like learn stuff. Like, you know, because if you try to catch on to the game as a adult, the unwritten rules are gonna kill you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because your teammate will be looking at you like, why are you not going out to the mound? You hit me with the ball. Why are you going to the mound? You like?
Yeah.
I don't want to.
You know? So, yeah.
I got you. Like, when it's called for, fight's okay. Dez Bryant.
Are there unwritten rules in basketball, though, when it comes to stuff like that?
I think the main unwritten rules is baseball and soccer. And hockey.
Yeah.
Baseball, soccer, and hockey.
Yeah, the most unwritten rules.
Unwritten rules.
Yeah.
And they all police themselves, though. You know what I mean?
Like, stealing signs. Everybody.
And I hate
but,
that.
You know. Yeah. If you, everyone does it. But
spikes high, spikes low.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of unwritten rules and nuances to the game.
But why do they get so upset about stealing signs? I mean, we used to steal signs in Little League. All the way up.
You can't be blatant about it. That's the thing.
You can't be blamed when you're giving them.
that's why you got so many different coaches, though.
Hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. It's just how you handle it when you get caught.
Well, you know, we actually got a question for our For the People segment.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and dive into that. This is For the People brought to you by 48 Media.
Calling all independent and unsigned artists, producers, DJs, models, and photographers. Do you want to gain more exposure? Need to build a buzz? Then check out 48 Media and submit to be featured on 48media.com. Send your request to info@48media.com. That's F-O-U-R, the number 8, media.com. You can also find 48 Media on Facebook and Twitter. Just search the number 4, E-I-G-H-T, Media. 48 Media.
Thank you, Jebediah. And that is 48 Media. Let's go ahead and let's get started with the question. Sean Russell. Oh, Lord.
Sean
Russell asked the question. Do you think Adrian Bonner will ever reach his potential? I am going last.
Nah, I'm just quick to say no. There's not even an explanation. Floyd even said it after the last fight. The boy ain't focused. He hasn't been focused. What do you want me to say?
All right, swing it.
Caitlyn Jenner, Michael Sam, Adrian Bronner will never get any more of my energy. I will not waste energy on them.
I thought you were naming the Supreme. All right.
Nobody.
But I don't even know how to come back. But I'm not going for the alley-oop on that one. Let the pass go. Out of bounds. No, he won't. And for Floyd to say that, who has almost been a mentor to him.
His big brother.
Yeah.
Right. So to speak, raise him, show him how to make money, how to be your own entity, how to promote yourself. For someone to come out and say that publicly, that means he said it behind closed doors. So, no.
Yeah.
After the last fight, I already said he's in the wrong camp. Anybody else camp, he would make it to, you know, he might still have some of the, but perfect storm to get into, be under Floyd and have that same kind of mentality and bravado. He'll never reach his proper potential.
Zab Judah even, part two.
Even worse, that the boxing is on a downward spiral. You would think it would
have an opportunity.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he still won't take advantage of it. So no,
Zab Judah was better.
Yeah, he was.
But similar issue.
I mean, Tommy Morrison was better.
All right, Rashad, it's on you. We pushed up against the clock.
Tommy Gunn. No, I said this before. No, I said it for the people and everything. No, it's just not happening. No.
There it is.
And that's it for the people. All right, gentlemen, it's that time. Final four thoughts. Who would like to go first?
I'm going to go first because I want you guys to hear something before I have to say what I have to say. Listen up.
And I'm not saying that somebody shouldn't say that Black Lives Matter. What I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with somebody highlighting that all lives matter. That's not a reason for somebody to be booed. It's not a reason for a presidential candidate to have to apologize. Apologize? Does anybody take a moment to realize how we look when we force someone to apologize for saying all lives matter? Do you not have any idea how that makes us look? Especially when black folks are getting killed by black folks every day. And that's not to say that white folks ain't killing white folks, because that happens too. But black folks are killing black folks every day. And we never heard Black Lives Matter. So what are we saying? That black lives matter only when we're killed by somebody who's not black?
Listen here, Stephen A., I'm sick of your mess. It is over for you. I am part of the black delegation, would like to release you from your contract. You can free to be Asian if you want to. Listen, nobody has a problem with all lives matter. You know the reason why Black Lives Matter is said? Because the people that sworn to protect us doesn't care about your life. We don't need to say all lives matter when we first say Black Lives Matter. That's almost superseding Black Lives Matter. So, yeah, people have a problem with it. You can't have a problem with people having a problem with that. But my problem is you. Because every time you get a chance to talk about other black people, you do it. And you supposedly supposed to be some leader in the black community. I am sick of your mess, Stephen A. Smith. And I am done with you. And I'm not even playing. Go talk to the brothers that supposedly told you Chip Kelly was racist. But I'm telling you, Chip. I'm telling you, Stephen A. This is by far one of the dumbest, most coonish stuff that I've ever heard. And the worst part is Fox picked it up. Fox News. So that tells you what how much your opinion is worth. I'm done.
All right.
Hey, man. Hey, on a lighter note, August the 14th, Wings and Beer will be having an audition, open audition. So if you want some information, hit me up, Marlon Copeland, on my Facebook page, and I'll give you all the information if you would like to audition for a part in my upcoming web series. And Stephen A. Smith, I agree with Michael.
You didn't give his email address, did you?
No wonder how you want that email. You can block off that Facebook.
So I decided I'm
sticking
with it.
Actually, got some hate mail on Facebook today.
We'll have some more tomorrow. Some more tomorrow.
Wasn't sports related, but it was weird that I got it.
I decided I'm going to stick to sports because I refuse to talk about stuff I constantly see on the news. I can care less about the whole Russell Wilson and future situation. I can care less that I went home and turned on the TV on the news. They talking about how Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy are no longer together. I ain't going to even go through all that. I'm just going to go ahead and stick to the sport that I like talking about. And all I got to say is Ronda Rousey is the truth, whether y'all like it or not. Y'all sit here want to give her all this publicity because she beat somebody 34-6. Where was you when she beat the other person with punches in 16?
True.
I don't get it. The girl's the truth. Y'all said that she ain't got no stand-up. She went against one of the baddest stand-up fighters, and she beat her 34 seconds. All I got to say is, can we please see Cyborg?
Yep.
That's all I'm asking for.
And I'm done.
I don't think she's fighting nobody.
Say what now? Okay, all right. You can check us out for Home for the Advantage. Sports Talk for Home for the Advantage. Trash Talk on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter, the number 4HF Advantage. And DNA Sports was in the building. We truly appreciate it. Why don't y'all put y'all information in?
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate y'all having us on again.
Always.
We're on every Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
We bring the facts about sports.
And if you don't agree,
say so.
And you can find that on smashnotfm.com or just go to the website, www.dnasportstalk.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. And once again, we are all black. You have a good night.
Come see me, Stephen A.